Morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's wonderful to see all of you. I'm hoping some more people will come in. Oh, I see the door is open now. Oh, good. Maybe we have some stragglers. I have a few announcements. The poinsettia orders are due next Sunday, and if you need a form, they're on the back table. We're going to have a candlelight Christmas Eve service at 6:30 on December 24th. And bring your friends and family. The altar flowers today are presented by Lori and Keith. And we're planning on having an ad board after church. So hopefully it will happen. If it doesn't happen, it will be a big surprise to me. Your prayer list, if you take this home and keep it by wherever your chair is and pick it up once or twice a day and pray for these people. Our Cynthia is having quite a difficult time with her hematoma. And she has to go to the wound clinic at the hospital, Joanne, three times a week. And apparently it was the size of a small football on her leg. So keep her in mind, and I know we've sent cards, we need to do it again. Are there any other announcements? Are there any joys or concerns? Barb?
We need to pray for the Phil Speed family.
I didn't hear the name.
Phil Speed family. Their son passed away with cancer. He was only 28. And he did have some mental problems. So they need a lot of prayer.
Speed family. Rick? Yeah, I knew a couple of Kidder kids that went to school in Benville. I don't know if... Well, without further ado, we're going to give that bell a good Saugatuck ring. Let the town hear it. Will you stand for the call to worship? See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, says the Lord of hosts. A voice cries out in the wilderness, Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight.
Renew with us your covenant, O God, that we may be ready for the dawn of your salvation.
We light a second candle to bring light to every darkness and to guide us in the way of peace.
With gratitude for your life, O God, we will prepare to welcome the new birth of your love.
Let's continue with the opening prayer. O living Christ, in this season of light, may we look to the light of the world. In this season of music, may we hear the message of the angels. In this season of gift-giving, we acknowledge the greatest gift of all. In this season of merriment, may we experience the joy of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now we'll sing, O Come Emmanuel, on 211, singing three verses, 1, 5, and 7. Oh, it's 1, 5, 6, 7? 1, 5, 6, 7.
See each of you, and it's good to be seen too. Mary and I were talking on the way over here, and she told me about something that happened this week at our house. Mary has several nativity scenes around the house, And they're geared originally for our children, and some of them now for grandchildren. We have a Playmobil kind of nativity scene that's on a table where the kids can play with it. On the refrigerator, there's a nativity scene that with magnets. And on the door going to the garage, there was a magnet of Santa Claus on the door. And our five-year-old granddaughter took that Santa Claus and put it with the nativity scene on the refrigerator. And she said, "Grandma, this is where Santa Claus belongs." I only heard that on the way to church this morning, but I thought sometimes kids, they're just right on. They understand. And so I was kind of, I mean, it's my granddaughter, so, you know, I have that thing going, but I'm a human being. But at the same time, I thought that was a tremendous insight that came from a five-year-old, kind of profound. Happens sometimes, I guess, if we really listen to what they're saying. I'd like to invite you to a time of prayer. We'll have a time of silent prayer. You're encouraged to pray for the concerns spoken, concerns that you have, concerns on the prayer list. And then following our silent prayer, I'll lead us in a brief pastoral prayer, and we will share the Lord's Prayer together. Let's be in an attitude of prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time of worship together this morning. We thank you for the words of the song, O come, Emmanuel. We understand that Jesus has come, that he is here even now, and that he is coming again. Help us, we pray, to rejoice and give thanks for his coming into our world, his coming into our hearts and lives, and his coming again. Help us to wait in creative ways and positive ways, and in celebration and in preparing. We thank you for your many gifts to us. We thank you for the gift of family and friends. We thank you for the gift of health and strength, opportunities to work and serve. We thank you that you are indeed with us. And if we seek your help, you are ever present to help and guide us. We thank you for the gift of your Son, what the Apostle Paul calls the unspeakable gift. We thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit, who makes Jesus' presence real to us and helps us as we strive to live according to your word and according to your way. We thank you for so many blessings in our lives that we cannot number them all. We're grateful that you're a God who cares about people. You care about the families that we mentioned moments ago who have lost loved ones. We offer prayers for them. We pray for your comfort. We pray for the ministry of your presence. And we pray that those who are near them could encourage them, and offer your consolation. We offer prayers for our world and for hurting people, wherever they might be. We know that there are many people in our world and even in our community who are less fortunate than we are. So we offer prayers. We pray that you would give us tender hearts, a caring spirit, and help us to make a difference where we can. Open our eyes and help us to see those opportunities to make your love real in ourselves and for others. We offer prayers for your church and the ministry of sharing your word, inviting people into relationship to you through your Son. We pray for the churches in this area, Saugatuck, surrounding area. We pray that you would help us to be faithful to you and help us all to be used by you in sharing your love. We acknowledge our unworthiness, that we have done that which is wrong in your sight. We ask for forgiveness, but we pray for your presence in such a way that our lives will become more and more in harmony with your will and your way and the example set by your Son. We pray for this worship service and this time together. We pray that your presence might be real here for everyone, and that we each might receive from you that word of hope and encouragement, conviction, and confirmation that we need for our lives this day. Hear us now as we offer the prayer your Son taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
The first scripture reading is Psalm 24, found on page 484 of your Pew Bible. The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, the world and those who live in it. For he has founded it on the seas and established it on the rivers. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? Those who have clean hands and pure hearts, who do not lift up their souls to what is false, and do not swear deceitfully. They will receive the blessing from the Lord and vindication from the God of their salvation. Such is the company of those who seek him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Second reading is Isaiah 61, 1-4 and 8-11, found on pages 655 and 656. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called excuse me. It will be called Oaks of Righteousness, the planting of the Lord, to display his glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants shall be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge that they are a people whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. The word of God for the people of God.
I'd like to invite you for a time of prayer for the sick. The words that I will use are found on page 457 in the hymnal. When I pause, that is the time when you can speak aloud or in your spirit the name of person or persons that you would have us pray for this morning. So let's be in an attitude of prayer. God of compassion, source of life and health, strengthen and relieve your servants. And give your power of healing to those who minister to their needs, that those for whom our prayers are offered may find help in weakness and have confidence in your loving care. Through him who healed the sick and is the physician of our souls, even Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. This time our ushers will wait upon us. We'll worship God with our tithes and offerings. giver of unspeakable gifts, even the gift of your Son. Receive, we pray, the gifts that we offer. Bless them and us to your service and to your honor. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now we'll sing "It Came Upon a Midnight Clear," found on 218. Morning is found in 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning with verse 8 and reading through the first part of verse 15. Second Peter chapter 3, beginning with verse 8. Peter writes, "But do not ignore this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some think of slowness, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a loud noise, and the elements will be dissolved with fire,
and the earth and everything that is done in it will be disclosed. Since all these things are to be dissolved in this way, what sort of persons ought you to be in leading lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set ablaze and dissolved, and the elements will be melted with fire. But in accordance with his promise, we wait for new heavens and a new earth, where righteousness is at home. Therefore, beloved, while you are waiting for these things, strive to be found by him at peace, without spot or blemish, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation. Here ends this reading of God's Word. Heavenly Father, in these moments we pray that you would speak to us anew through your Word and through your Messenger. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight through Christ our Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. I want to talk to you about patience and waiting. Everybody likes to wait. And what I would call creative waiting. And I came across a couple of little tidbits about waiting. I think I've used them before, but I still like them. The first is about a small boy who was sent to bed by his father. 5 minutes later, Dad heard the little boy say, "Dad." He said, "What?" "I'm thirsty. Can you bring me a drink of water?" "No. You should have gotten a drink of water before you went to bed. Go to sleep." 5 minutes later, "Dad." "What?" "I'm thirsty. Can I get a drink of water?" "I told you no. And if you ask again, I'll come up there and spank you." 5 minutes later, "Dad." "What?" "When you come up to spank me, can you bring a drink of water?" Here's a story about a man who asked God this question. "God, how long is a million years for you?" God said, "A million years is like a second." And so the man asked, "How much is $1 million to you?" God said, $1 million is like a penny." The man said, "Could you spare a penny?" God said, "Sure, just wait a second." I don't know how good you are at waiting. I have to confess that most of the time I'm not very good. And sometimes when we're shopping, we'll go down the aisle near the front of the store looking for the shortest line to check out. And sometimes we'll even change lines because we think the one we're in is moving too slow. I know you're not like me in that regard. It's a difficult thing sometimes to be patient. I remember when I was a kid waiting for Christmas. I don't remember all of this very clearly, but evidently, my dad read the newspaper, at least, I don't know if he got the Sunday paper, but during the week. And there was a little box on the front page that said how many days, probably how many shopping days until Christmas. And I would look at that, and I could not believe how slowly time seemed to move until Christmas. When our kids were little, and now our grandchildren, we hear them say sometimes, I can't wait till Christmas. And I remember that feeling. I don't know if you remember it, but I do. And I felt like it was never going to come. It just seemed like it took forever. And my parents would say, well, just be patient. I remember a saying, and you've heard this, it doesn't necessarily relate to Christmas, but it relates to waiting. My mom used to say to us, a watched pot never boils. And, you know, I wish parents would be more careful about things that they say to their kids, because it seems like whenever I'm waiting, I can, and I'm getting impatient, I can hear my mom's voice saying, a watched pot never boils. It's hard to wait. And Peter, in this passage, is talking about waiting and the patience of God and our patience. And there is a difference. Peter said, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord a day is like a thousand years, and a thousand years as a day. In our lives, we see a limited part of what's happening, what has happened, and anticipation for what will happen. And God, in His mind, sees it all and knows it. And so He talks about God's patience, God's waiting. I've always thought about the coming of Jesus the first time. And the question I ask, well, why couldn't He have come sooner? Why did it have to be when it was, and why didn't it happen later? It was God's timing, and the Bible says that it was in the fullness of time that Jesus came. Everything was prepared. Everything that needed to happen before Jesus came had happened. It was the perfect time, the right time. And that is the way it always is with God's timing. If you go back into the Old Testament, there is an awareness of God's patience, if you will, for those who are not yet believers. The book of Jonah is an interesting book, because Jonah is called to go preach to a very, very sinful city, the city of Nineveh. And Jonah does not want to go. He doesn't want to go and preach to these people because he hates them. He thinks they're terrible sinners and that they deserve the punishment that they have earned. And he doesn't want to go, but he has to go because God has called him to go. And in the context of that situation, when the people of Nineveh respond, Jonah said, I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. There was an awareness, even in the Old Testament, of God's patience, of His mercy. And the reason that He waits, it's here in this passage that Peter tells us the reason. The Lord is not slow about His promise, as some think of slowness, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. The reason He waits is that others might come to know him. There's a reason for his waiting. There's a reason for his patience. Christmas is a sign and a proof that the promise of Jesus' return will be fulfilled. He came once, just as he came once, he will come again. God promised to send the world a Savior, and God sent his only Son. God hadn't given up on the human race, and this is a key for us, I think. He hasn't given up yet. He kept his promise then, and he keeps it now. Peter goes on to say, "The day of the Lord will come like a thief. Then the heavens will pass away with a loud noise, and elements will be dissolved with fire, and the earth and the works that are upon it will be burned up." Christmas is a reminder that God keeps his promise. If you will, it's an object lesson in why Jesus needs to come again. We celebrate Christmas not always in a spiritual sense. I'm not critical of the things that we do, only in the sense that sometimes we miss the real meaning. The things that really matter are things like faith, hope, love, joy, peace. I think you've heard of those things before. When Jesus comes again, the world as we know it will not be here any longer. We'll be replaced with a new heaven and a new earth. And some of the things that we thought were really important will no longer have value. It will be those qualities that are sometimes called the fruit of the Spirit that will be value. We should celebrate Christmas, and we should give gifts, I think, to our friends and loved ones, but realize that the gift is not the most important thing. What's important is what's in our hearts and our souls. What is important is the love. I came across this family story. One morning when the kids woke up, their parents were taking the Christmas decorations out of the storage. And they said, "Mommy, Daddy, when is Christmas coming?" The parents said, "Well, soon, kids. It won't be long." But hours and days passed by. I have to think if they got their Christmas decorations out before Thanksgiving, it seemed even longer. But, you know, nothing happened right away. And so the kids decided that their parents weren't really telling the truth about when Christmas was coming. And so they gave up on Christmas altogether. One child decided to spend the time making a list of things that she wanted to get. It's a thing that kids do. Sometimes we ask them to do that. Every morning when she got up, she would look for gifts under the tree and for treats in the stockings, and every day she was disappointed. The youngest child decided that if Christmas didn't come, he would act like it had anyway. And while his sister made lists and his brother sneered at every decoration and refused to sing Christmas songs, the little brother tried to give little gifts to his family. They were not great fancy gifts like you find under the Christmas tree, but they were gifts. He gave his father and mother a hug, big bear hug each morning. He gave his brother, he'd make planes out of construction paper, and he would give them to his brother. He would play dress up with his sister. He didn't really like doing that, but he did. And he gave the lady who lived next door a handmade Christmas card. Well, the end was that the kids' feelings about Christmas changed, and they stopped making lists of things that they wanted and started making lists of things they could give. By the time Christmas came, the children had forgotten all about waiting, because each day was a little bit like Christmas. I call that creative waiting. Creative waiting. One of the things that I get to do as a pastor, I try to do, is when someone is having surgery, go to the hospital and wait with the family during surgery. And I have seen some, what I call, I'm not trying to make a judgment, but I have seen what I call creative waiting. I remember one time being in a fairly large waiting room, and it was another pastor that was there, and he brought his computer with him. I'm not sure what he was working on, but he was working on something while he was waiting with the family. Sometimes people bring books to read. Surgeries can be long. I remember an elderly lady that was having hip replacement surgery, and I went for the surgery, and the only other person there was her daughter. And when her mom went to surgery, she said, "Well, I'm going to go shopping." So another creative way. I didn't know what to do at that point, whether to stay or to go or what. What I try to do during that time, and it's probably not the most productive thing for me, but it's what I felt called to do, was I try to spend time with the family. I get to know them a little bit better than I had known them before. We talk. I find out a lot of information about them and share about myself. I tease them sometimes and say, "You know, this is how I get my sermon illustrations." Not true. But there have been times when my presence there, I believe, has been helpful. Creative time in a waiting room can be praying. It can be talking about things that are important in our lives and in our faith. How do we wait? How do we wait for Christmas? How do we wait for the second coming of Christ? How do we wait for his coming into our lives? And I believe it's an action on our part. And here's the thing about waiting. It doesn't matter where it is. It doesn't matter what it's for. That when we're involved in doing something that's important, time goes by. If you're watching the clock while I preach, it probably moves pretty slow. But I have to tell you, I've been in services and heard other people preach, and by the time the sermon was over, I couldn't believe it was over, because something was happening for me in that time, in that moment. And it might have been the preacher's skill and gift at preaching, but I think there was another dynamic too. God's Spirit was speaking to my spirit, and I was receiving something, and it was changing my life. Waiting is not intended in Scripture to be idle time. It's intended to be creative time. And the giving of gifts at Christmas, I think, is important. It's funny how you get involved in conversations with people that you least expect to have conversations with. We are going through the checkout at Walmart. We had gotten some odds and ends things for Christmas, and the cashier was talking to us, and she said, you know, I have one daughter who doesn't come to the Christmas, our family Christmas, because they don't believe in exchanging gifts at Christmas time. And I didn't have a good response to her in that quick moment. But the giving of gifts that really matter isn't limited to Christmas. Material gifts are fine. Sometimes they're necessary, but I tell you what, probably the greatest gift I could get from one of my grandchildren is just a great big bear hug. That because you know it's sincere and it's real and it comes from the heart. And you can't buy that. You can't buy it anywhere. And God wants us to be about that kind of giving, not just at Christmas, but all year round. And the key is to be intentional, to look for opportunities to share love. The love that comes from Him reaches out to others. Heavenly Father, help us to be patient in our waiting. Help us when we're thinking, hurry up, hurry up. Calm our spirits and help us to use that time of waiting in positive, creative, God-led ways. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to stand able for our last hymn, a carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem, number 230.
Thank you.